Our Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 6. We do, however, speak of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor has heard, no mind has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep thing, God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's. For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Living in a hostile world is the way one of my commentary summarises the challenges facing the fledgling Corinthian church. Theirs was a world in many ways which is similar to our own. The city of Corinth was bustling, cosmopolitan and rich. It was a melting pot of Greek, Roman and Oriental philosophies and religions. Corinthians loved their sport, as we do, and the Isthmian Games took place every 2 years at the shrine of Poseidon. Moral standards were low, and prostitution was commonplace. After establishing the church and moving on to Ephesus, Paul receives reports that things were not going well in Corinth, with divisions caused by spiritual pride. Factions followed their favourite leaders. Worship was disorderly, and spiritual gifts were misused. The taking of communion was done in a frivolous manner, without proper reflection. Corinthian morality, or the lack of it, had permeated the church. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians to encourage, to exhort, and to discipline them. In chapter 1, verse 2, he reminds them of their position in Christ, the wonderful truth that they are already sanctified and called to be holy. But this position is not enough of itself. Holy living needs to be quality in their daily lives, and their corporate worship needs to be orderly and considerate of the poor. In 1 verse 10, Paul challenges them over divisions, reminding them that the wisdom of the gospel is different to the worldly wisdom of the articulate philosophers of the day. He reminds them that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power. In other words, if the world fails to recognise that there is a problem with the human heart caused by sin, it will not recognise God's answer to that problem, the cross. We are forgiven by grace through faith. This is foolishness to the wise. But before we go any further, I'm just going to pause for a moment and ask, where does wisdom begin? Well, technically, wisdom didn't have a beginning. It's eternal as it is one of God's attributes, and because God is eternal, wisdom is eternal. But for us, wisdom has a beginning. Proverbs 9, 10 and 11 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many and years will be added to your life." This does not mean that human wisdom and knowledge are important. They are. Without them, we would not have such marvellous developments in medicine, transport, aviation, computer technology, civil engineering, construction, and the like. But what this verse does tell us is that wisdom and spiritual matters, matters which count for eternity, start with a healthy respect of God and his ways. And in the Old Testament, numerous passages instruct us in the ways of God. In fact, divided the Tanakh, the Old Testament, into three parts: the law, the prophets, and the writings, the books of wisdom. But now, in the New Testament, Paul supercharges our understanding of wisdom and to the next level in what is an amazing passage. From chapter 2, verse 6, to the end of the chapter, he reveals four things to us. Firstly, in verse 7, we learn that God's secret wisdom has been fully revealed in Jesus and the cross. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophecies of a promised Messiah developed and grew from the first promise that the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head, to Abraham, through whom all the peoples of the world would be blessed, to the intricate prophecy of Isaiah and the suffering servant. But in contrast, verse 6 tells us that the rulers of this age, the spiritual powers and authorities, Satan and his cohort of fallen angels, failed to recognise God's secret wisdom, now revealed Jesus' death on the cross. If they had recognised it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Secondly, again in verse 7, we learn that through God's wisdom, he destines glory those who believe in him, me and you. This is incredible. To put it another way, because of his great love, he devised a plan not only to create us, but one day he would honour us in glory when we are finally united as a bride to his Son. Paul presses home this point in verse 9 with a quote from Isaiah 64, verse 4. "Eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." This is a theme Paul expands further in chapter 15 when he teaches the Corinthians about action body. When, at the last trumpet, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed and clothed with our heavenly bodies. These are truths so wonderful and beyond human imagination that only God in his infinite could devise them. And in the fullness of time, at the end of the age, will bring them into reality. Thirdly, verses 10 and 11. It is only through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit that the deep things of God and salvation are made known to us. In the same way, only our inner self that knows our own thoughts and desires It is only the Holy Spirit who knows the deep things of God. And yet it is the same Spirit who is pleased to reveal this wisdom to us. We may understand what God has freely given to us. Verse 13 continues, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." God's wisdom, revealed through the patriarchs, the prophets, Jesus, and now the apostles, recorded for us in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit helps us to understand these words as we read the Bible. Like the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, wonder when our minds are opened and God's truth and our hearts burn within us. And fourthly and lastly, believers have been given the mind of Christ. Quote taken from Isaiah 40:13, Paul asks the rhetorical question, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" And in a typically Jewish style, he answers his own question emphatically. Believers do. We have the mind of Christ. Through the conviction of it, Christians can come into a relationship with Jesus and can start to comprehend the deep things of God. And with this, in verse 16, Paul closes his teaching on wisdom from the Spirit. So wisdom for believers starts at salvation. When we fear the Lord, we are justified in Christ. It will be completed when we enter into heaven, when we are glorified. But in the meantime, our spiritual wisdom is limited. Paul, in chapter 13, describes it like this. "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Between our justification, when our walk with God begins, and our glorification into God's presence in eternity, God's plan is for us to become more like Christ. This is the process of sanctification, becoming like Jesus in our day-to-day life. As we make judgments, personal circumstances and the world around us, in accordance with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the word of the God, our wisdom will grow. In the similar passage in Romans 12, Paul tells us to conform no longer to the pattern of this world, but to let our minds be transformed. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. But walking with God is sometimes difficult, especially when we or our loved ones encounter difficult, insurmountable problems, especially in respect of suffering. It is at times like these that we have to rely on God's wisdom, knowing that ultimately he is working out our circumstances in his will to bring about the best result, even when it seems the opposite is occurring. As such, we can only commit our ways in faith to the only wise God, who is to conform us to the image of his Son, until one day we pass into glory, and then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known. Amen.